I want to sell people on some things. Sell might not be the right word, but I want to sell people on the desirability of expanding their awareness about the value of four different things. Number one, thinking for ourselves. I want to sell people on the idea that that's a good thing. Number two, feeling our feelings. Number three, acting in harmony with our own highest views of ourselves. And four, expanding and organizing our relationship with our Creator. Today I want to talk about item number one, thinking for ourselves. Thinking for ourselves can open the door to the healing spirit, whereas not thinking for ourselves can increase stress, reactivity, and our own primitive behaviors. You can recognize when you look at your own education or previous training that thinking for ourselves has not been the emphasis. In fact, in early education, not thinking for ourselves has been emphasized. Most of our education and training has been about memorizing data that are told to us that they are facts but are mostly made up and agreed upon. And our educational system is about moving children through a process that we could say is similar to manufacturing. The, quotes, products that come out of the end of the high school manufacturing process, for example, are basically three groups of people. One group consists of people who have demonstrated and have had reinforced and now believe that they have potential for more training and education. This group tends to go on to college, technical schools, even the military, and so on. Group number two are those people who, on a basis of this educational experience and their own upbringing, that is the education they receive in their homes, believe that they have limited potential, and as such, have completed their education when they achieve a high school graduation, age 18 or so. Those people now do their best to fit in with their limited skills into the economic system of the culture. The third group are those people whose upbringing and educational experiences that have so distorted their awareness of their own potential that they believe that they're so limited that they're basically non-functional after high school. There's very little opportunity for them to have feelings of productivity and enjoyment in the economic system because of these beliefs and because of these lack of skills. I think a lot and I talk a lot about organizing information as a concept. Organizing information. Organizing information is life, so that every living thing does it. Human groupings are organizations which can congregate around certain points of view, and then these groupings of people rehearse and promote their points of view. As you know, political, educational, and religious institutions are like that. They tell us what points of view to have. They tell us which ones they have, and they tell us that we should have them as well. They tell us, quotes, truths, end quotes, of what to think, not what to consider, but what to think about. In essence, they do the thinking for us. Not only do they tell us what to think, but they tell us that anyone not thinking the same way is a problem, that they're bad, or worse yet, that they are the enemy. These groups tend to divide people instead of unifying people. People in power tend to want more power. That's a natural occurrence. Because it happens so often, we have to assume it's natural and normal. People with money tend to want more money. That also seems to be natural and normal. However, if people have equal inputs and equal opportunities, they will tend to become more equal if they put in equal effort. It is that equal effort that is a key element in this whole process as well. People need to be aware that by following the party line, whether it's a political, educational, or religious party line, or adherence to a narrow point of view, that when they do that, they are relinquishing one of their most fundamental rights as a human being and one of their most powerful resources. That is, the right and responsibility of thinking for themselves. If you were to read the news, consider this concept. Does it make sense for people who are fans of one soccer team to want to physically injure the fans of another soccer team? Of course it doesn't. What could be happening here is similar to what the Roman power elite recognized a couple of thousand years ago. By having gladiators and circuses, the power elite could divert the attention and energy of the masses and diffuse the potentially volatile situations due to the people all of a sudden waking up to the fact that they were generally disenfranchised. As long as the fans can relate to their, quotes, teams, and have their teams act out their fears, anxiety, and anger on the other team, then these emotions won't spill over onto the power elite. If you were to think about the soccer situations and consider that in Europe, for instance, that when one fan hurts another fan, it's not really a problem for the power elite. And in fact, it can actually serve to underscore the point that the fans are the problem, not the non-existence of opportunities economically, educationally, and otherwise for people to grow and develop and to provide for their families. All of those anxieties can be diverted and used as a form of distraction. President Richard Nixon is infamous for his shenanigans in the White House. When he was in power, he diverted American public attention from his escalation of the war in Southeast Asia when he started illegally bombing Cambodia by publicizing and declaring the war on drugs. We lost in Vietnam, we're losing the war on drugs and have been since its inception. But when Nixon did this, the average citizen's focus jumped to this new internal, quotes, threat that Nixon hyped and was hyped by the media. When we refuse to think for ourselves, we're susceptible to accepting other people's thinking. It's as if we put our brains on hold. We remove our brains, set them on a shelf, and use other people's brains or not. However, other people's thinking is connected to their self-interest, not our self-interest. So when they're doing the thinking, they're not thinking of us, they're thinking of themselves. When we don't realize that they are telling us what to think, who is good, who is bad, and who the enemies are, is for their own benefit, all of our energies can be diverted from creating the best lives we can for ourselves and instead do their prescribed action. Instead of our potential and our energies and our creativity and our willingness to work and our lives being used for our benefit and the benefit of our families, our lives become the casualties in a made-up war, casualties of misdirected thinking. The easiest way to control people is by reducing their ability to think. The fastest way to reduce a person's ability to think is to scare them by telling them of a threat, even if the threat is make-believe. By becoming stressed over this newly announced threat, people become dumb, less cognitive, and much more primitively reactive. Stupid people are easier to manipulate, and people who want to manipulate want to make people stupid. It's easy to see the evidence of the marketing of problems and the marketing of solution. Just watch TV. The pharmaceutical companies' marketing departments dream up diseases that they already have drugs whose effects match the symptoms of the illness. Instead of noticing that the symptoms are the result of stress, they label these normal, albeit undesirable, consequences of stress into syndromes and disorders so that prescriptions can be written, insurance claims can be filled out and submitted, and bills paid. It's all about the money. Radio and television personalities tell us what the problems are and who our enemies are. They get paid a lot of money to create and publicize problems and enemies. If we stop and think for a few moments, just a few, and ask ourselves, for example, is the immigration issue really my own top priority? Is my life the way it is because of an illegal immigrant? Does this immigrant as enemy just serve as a media circus designed to distract me from the real issues facing me and my country? If we think about that, we could be much better off. Anyone preaching threats, threats, threats with large doses of fear and the prescription of becoming angry is a person deliberately trying to make us stupid and herd us in a given direction. Considering the idea of human behavior in the context of balance is interesting, and it can be insightful too. If we look at human behavior as naturally attempting to go from the state of imbalance to the state of being balanced, we start to see a pattern. If we notice that when others tell us we're imbalanced because of such and such, and we refuse to think for ourselves, we will accept their prescription to regain balance. Is the imbalance in the body called restless leg syndrome really a deficiency of ropinirole, the drug that's marketed to deal with that problem? Is erectile dysfunction in men really a Viagra deficiency? Or are these false and profitable solutions really being targeted at improperly defined problems? Can we determine which wars we are really in? I think so. In wars between nations, one nation will capture and imprison citizens of the enemy nation. That's pretty straightforward. That's been going on for thousands and thousands of years. In the United States, while we are claiming to be the most democratic, the freest, and the best country on the planet, we are also putting the highest percentage of our own population into prison. This makes our own citizens our enemies. Are we at war with our own citizens or a certain segment of our citizenry? Something is wrong with this picture. When we look at who is in prison, we immediately see the patterns. Poor, uneducated, and powerless people are the ones who violate the laws created by the rich, educated, and powerful, which are carried out by the semi-rich, semi-educated, and semi-powerful police authorities. These same poor, uneducated, powerless people are the ones who are sent into wars between our nation and other nations. And frankly, other nations are doing the same thing with their poor, uneducated, and powerless. They're putting them in their military and sending them out to do their bidding. Looking again at United States prison statistics, we realize that blacks and browns make up the great majority of the prison population, guarded by whites or blacks or browns, who are largely managed by whites in prisons constructed by whites for the purposes of profit, power, and control for the benefit of whites. Is the war between whites and blacks and browns? Is it between whites and yellows? Are these wars all racial in nature? For whites to be afraid of blacks is so common, we accept it as normal. In fact, it is promoted and taught to us so as to push us, the whites, into a fear-based mass like non-thinking sheep. If we took a little time, just a little, we would recognize that blacks and browns, yellows and reds, and whites are essentially the same except for skin color and perhaps a couple of other minor differences. But we are so much alike in so many ways because we all belong to the same family of humankind. Is it possible that the white man's fear of the black man is due to this idea, this fear of losing control of white women, one of the main properties of white men? Is it possible that this fear is at the root of this war between the races, even more than money? All I ask us to do is to think about it. Believing lies and marketed fears disconnects us from humanity. The ones next door to us, the ones living in the same house with us, the ones in the same school with us, the same jobs with us, and on the same planet with us. It disconnects us from our access to the healing spirit. Instead of fabricating wars and throwing our poor, uneducated, powerless sons and daughters at the created, imagined enemy, why don't we think of cooperation instead of competition? Is it because wars are profitable for some? All I ask is for us to think about it. Despite all the references to abundance and the blessings of God available in the Bible, why do we listen to the preachings of scarcity and lack that include blaming other people for this imagined lack? Is this preaching just a distraction used to justify the greed of money, power, and control of the few? All I ask us to do is think about it. I'm not totally familiar with the story of Pinocchio, but I do know that until we take responsibility for cutting the strings of other people's thought controls, we are merely puppets disconnected from our own God-given right to self-determinism, freedom, and connection to that healing spirit. Think about it. My recommended prescription for all of this and for us to reconnect to our natural state of being connected to the healing spirit is for us to think for ourselves. Use this power given to us by God to think. Think for ourselves to create the relationship we want with the healing spirit, God. I'd like to end this service with a prayer. Father God, Mother God, Christ, the source and connection to all that is, thank you for all of our blessings, not the least of which is our ability to think about you and our relationship to you. May we think about the characteristics that we assign to you and then demonstrate them in our daily life toward ourselves, our family members, people we know, and people we don't know. May we see you in all things and in all people, regardless of the outer color of their skin. May we not grab hold of substitutes for our connection to you. May we think and become aware of that our problems are not chemical deficiencies, but in fact, thinking deficiencies and God deficiencies. Thank you. And it is so. Amen.